Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
You're not going to tell me when you can and when you can't. I'll make the decision for that, because this is still a country of freedom, and we're up underneath a constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest constitution we're under is up underneath the Word of God, which is the authorization of the King. My God, I wish I had a church.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the Word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
We pray this study in the book of Nehemiah has been a blessing to you. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers as he takes us back into this message series. This is a study from the book of Nehemiah, Rebuild, Part 3.
I've run into it way too many times now myself. And every time you do something for the kingdom of God, there's always going to be a Sambalat and Tobiah to silence your voice. And here's what I want to point out to you real quick before we move on here tonight. They said, the Bible said they were grieved in their spirit. Now, we look at it and it says grieved. We think, well, they maybe started crying because the walls were being built. But that word grieved there means much more. If you want to know if somebody has got some spirit of Sambalat and Tobiah on them, check it out. They were grieved, saddened, but it goes in deeper. They were full of laughter and mocking and wrath and subtlety and compromise. All of that word grieve right there is collected in all that. So you see that attack coming against Nehemiah, and the Bible said they laughed them to scorn and despised them, and they slandered them. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, be warned, earth, because the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. And now people are guilty by accusation. You better be purposeful. Listen, you can tolerate a lot of stuff. I see a Nehemiah right here, because the purpose of him going there was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. If people talk about anything but your purpose, let it go. Move on down the line. When they attack your purpose, stand up and call on the help of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Write this down. It's on your paper. When Nehemiah heard about this attack, this mocking, he over old arguments, can I say that? The devil only can use your past, misinformation, slander. Nehemiah was not intimidated, here it is, by fear, because his confidence was in God. Now, I'm going to help you learn how to pray right here, because I've had to pray this thing multiple times myself. Here's the way to pray. Lord, reward them for their works. Because many times you don't understand, is this God working in my life to strengthen me, to help me? Maybe this attack that's coming, God is orchestrating it to be able to strengthen me. Or it might be the devil himself coming just to kill me. Have you ever been in a place where you've been under attack like that and you pray, God, what's going on? I don't know whether this is you or not. Well, the safe prayer for you to pray is this. Lord, reward them for their works. If it's God doing it, then let his perfect will be done inside of my life. If it's the devil doing it, then let the will of God come down and crush his ugly head. Come on, somebody. When they start recounting the beginning of the rebuilding of the walls, In Nehemiah chapter 2 and chapter number 3, there are 38 different leaders. Get this quickly. 38 different leaders, 15 different groups of people, and the work was divided approximately into 40 different sections around the wall. That's significant, because this work of the building of the walls of Jerusalem is going to be complete in 52 days. You're seeing how it's going to be operating. There had to be an assembly of people come together to work together in unity to make it happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These 15 different groups and 38 different leaders couldn't walk up into the church, onto the wall, and say, hey, I think I'm going to build it this way. Well, I want to do it this way. Well, I think we're to do this way. That's division. That's two vision, and it will perish. That's the reason why the work was divided into these 40 sections, and it began at the sheep gate, the Bible says. This is a spiritual truth for us to get a hold of, because the sheep gate is the beginning of our worship. It starts at the sheep gate and it ends at the sheep gate. You start with worship and you end with worship. Restoring the gates Now, the gates represent ministries in the church. The gates represent the access going in and out of Jerusalem, access to the city. I want to run this down quickly. It's not on your paper, but I want you to hear this because it's important for you to get a hold of. Every one of these gates represent ministry in the church today. Are you listening out there? Come on. The sheep gate is the ministry to God's people. It's the sacrifice of the Lord and all the different references that you can see in the scripture. The fish gate was the next gate in its order. The ministry to the unsaved, reaching the masses. He'll make us fishers of men, the fish gate. Then the old gate was a representation of the old foundational doctrines. That's a problem we've got today, is that we have strayed so far away from the founding doctrines that we've got just a little bit of anything and everything, and it's killing us. It's time to rebuild the gates of the old foundational doctrines so that we can take the Word of God and our people can take the Word of God and slay the enemy and build the kingdom. I can't preach on there. Every one of these preach well by themselves. There's the valley gate. That is the ministry of compassion. Have you ever been in a valley before? Sure you have. Are you going to be there again? Sure you will. There's an access point to get to God at the valley gate. Then there's the dung gate. If you need me to explain that one, it's the ministry of cleansing, ladies and gentlemen. And there's not a person out here that doesn't need a cleansing. Come on, somebody. I remember B.H. Clendenin standing in this pulpit years ago, and he continually said that all of the sickness and disease of all mankind is found in the septic of the human soul. When you purge, my dear friends, from the old mindset and the sins that so easily beset us, he said there's a place for you to access and get that out of your life. Then you go to the fountain gate, which is the place of refreshing. Look at the order of this thing. The place of refreshing. Then there's the water gate that represents God's word that is a water to my soul. Come on, somebody. Then there is the horse gate that is the place of lifting up burdens off of my life. The place where horses would bring the burdens. They would bring in the backpacks and the packs of food or whatever it may be, going in and out, bearing the burden. The man didn't have to bear the burden. The horse did. Then there is the east gate. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need to know anything about the eastern gate, it is the gate that is the entrance and access point of the bride of Christ. I stood there a few months ago and looked across the Kidron Valley straight to the eastern gate, and I proclaim to you tonight that all of those gates and all of that wall is shaking, reverberating, waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God, even as I speak here tonight. Just within the past few days, they have found a brand new location near the western wall that they've been digging around that continually verifies that this is the home of the Jewish people and the land where Jesus walked. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that Nehemiah was the one who went back to restore back these gates of the city so that we could have a reference here tonight in the time we're living with a pandemic all around us that it's time to rebuild the walls. I don't have time to get into the rest of those gates here tonight, but I can tell you and into the details of it, but they had tools to work in their hand. They had the weapons of war in their hand, and they had an ear tuned towards Nehemiah and the voice of their leader. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, here is a man in Nehemiah who was a man of new beginnings. And if you don't think we're restarting this thing, you need to think again. Write it down. Every good beginning starts with the first step of faith. You're going nowhere until you step out in faith. We did that this past weekend right here at Pace Assembly. People came, some watched online. I don't know, there may have been some people sitting in the parking lot of their car. I really don't care. I just believe there's an awful lot of folks that are listening to me right now that are sick and tired of the limitations that the enemy has put around your life. And the longer you listen to the news media and those fear-mongering individuals, fear is going to come in and keep you from walking out of your house. But I, in the name of Jesus, be set free, be healed, and be delivered. Get faith in your soul tonight. It's time to break out into a brand new beginning in your life. Write it down. Nehemiah did not expect others to take a greater risk than he did. So he took the lead on everything. All leaders get the attack first. It's like people that sign up for the military. And they think only thing they're doing is going to college. And the next thing you know, they get a rifle put in their hand, a canteen on their belt, and they're shoved into the back of a C-130 and flown all the way around the world to fight in a battle that they don't know anything about. And they look at it and say, hey, I don't know if I signed up for this. Ladies and gentlemen, every military man and woman, as we go up to Memorial Day this weekend, who laid down their life for your freedoms that we have tonight, hear what I'm telling you. They signed up knowing that they were walking into the face of the enemy itself, but they took courage in their heart. And also they knew in World War II that a president stopped the country and called the church, called the world to prayer in the behalf of our military men and women. Can I tell you something, my dear friends? This is a time just like it, but it is a spiritual battle at its core, and it is necessary for us to take risk of faith in the hour that we're in. Nehemiah put together a cooperating plan to rebuild. He assigned people as sections on the wall. He put families together so that they wouldn't have to travel far away. He just in case they were attacked, he knew that if he put the father and the mother out there, that they would protect their kids that are building on their own house right there. All of these were God-ordained and anointed ideas to rise up and build. So here's a question for you before we go any further, quickly. Is it God's will for us to stay like we are right now with shuttered churches? Or is it God's will for us to build his church in these last days? You have to answer that for yourself. Nobody can answer it for you. I had people sitting here Sunday that have masks on their faces and all kinds of protective gear. It doesn't make any difference if you want to wear a hazmat suit in here. I could care less. We've got to take a position, ladies and gentlemen, where we're going to say we cannot stay here. We must rise up and build in this last day hour. God's will is for us to accomplish his work. Listen, God's going to accomplish his work with or without us. And I can tell you, look at Nehemiah 3 and 5, when Nehemiah was calling all the tribes and all the people together, he said, come on, let's rebuild the city so there's no disgrace. Let's reopen the doors of the church so that we're not a disgrace. The Bible says in verse number 5 of chapter 3 that not all the people cooperated. They didn't all cooperate and support the work of the rebuilding. But I want you to hear me. In fact, they actually laughed and mocked him. So you got Sanballat and Tobiah over here, and then you got your own church members that are mocking you. What are you going to do? You know what? I'm going to follow Nehemiah's plan. Nehemiah didn't let the people that didn't want to work on the wall discourage him. He didn't let laziness and apathy and even leaders of anybody else stop him from doing what God had called him to do. He said, I'm going to do it with or without you. Now write this down as we're coming to a quick close. Here's some lessons from Nehemiah that you need to take away from this. Number one, God prepares us for the opportunities into the future, and he does it today. Amen. Preparation for the next season is in this season. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but God is preparing us now. Why did I go through that? Why did I preach that? I think about messages that I've preached over the past several months, and I didn't even realize at the time that I was preaching messages and teaching messages here to help people be prepared for such a time as this. If you took it, you received it, and you got faith out of it, then it's working in your life. If you didn't and cast it aside, I can't help you, and I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to tell you right here real quick. My wife and I were discussing this the other night. I believe that we're at such a strategic place right now in our society and in our world that God said, I have sped this thing up, and God is in charge of this. If anybody knows the vaccine, God knows the vaccine. He knows when the end of it is going to be. And I believe God has put his hands on godly, righteous preachers right now and said, you just keep preaching and reaping the harvest, but what I've allowed to take place is not going to stop. It's going to be this, it's going to be this, it's going to be this. I'm going to shake this world until they recognize that I'm God. And by the time it's over with, there's going to be a trumpet sound. God's preparing you today, church, for the rapture that's going to happen any second.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.